As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Go, man. Tear it up, dude.
You're listening to Here's the Catch with David Lombardi, Matt Barrows, and Dennis Brown on the Athletic Podcast Network.
Well, you just have to take a deep breath after the most recent 30 hours in 49ers land to just let everything process. You have to say, one of the most eventful 30 hours in franchise history. They literally have gotten kicked out of their home county, and then they get kicked out on their way to L.A. while they're on the plane to play a game that they have to win to begin salvaging a broken, nightmarish season. And then the 49ers turn around and beat the team that was leading the division on the road, the Rams, 23-20, to possibly begin salvaging this season. But they have to fly back to San Jose and Santa Clara County in time to touch down before midnight so they don't have to quarantine for 2 weeks there, because they're going to have to leave in all likelihood based on what's happening, and they don't know where that home will be for sure yet. So, Matt, did I just cover everything that happened in the last 30 hours? Because I know it's been a lot. I might have missed something. But, you know, amidst all of the craziness, the 49ers beat the Rams. They upset the Rams on a last-second field goal from Robbie Gould.
Yeah, it sounds like it's been an emotional couple of weeks, really. I mean, it sort of started with the loss to the Saints, a game that the 49ers felt they could have won had they taken better care of the ball. And then they have all these guys go on the COVID list in the following days, 9 guys total. So that a week ago, last weekend, they wouldn't have been able to field a team. I mean, their injuries plus all the COVID guys. So there were question marks there. And then, as you noted, there's this body blow that they get as they're boarding the plane on Saturday that they may have to spend the month of December. It's kind of an important month for families, away from their families, on the road somewhere, and be road warriors basically for the entire month of December. So when they got this win, I think that was, they took out some of their frustration, some of that emotion on the Rams. They were definitely the more energetic of the two teams to begin with, Dennis. You know, with all that grief and strife and frustration, they have to be feeling pretty good right now. I mean, you always feel good after a win, that they could piece together a win against the, you know, what would have been probably the best team in the division, is even sweeter.
And on top of that, it's a divisional game, and it's starting to kind of look like Robert Saleh really has the Rams' number, because the defense always plays well against the Rams. And on top of everything this season, the injuries, the COVID list, and then getting on an airplane and finding out that you can't even come back to your home state and practice and play, like you said, this is going to be a very important next 3 weeks if the 49ers want to kind of compete and hopefully get a playoff berth. So a lot of adversity, and you know, this team goes out and they play the Rams well. They dominated the first half. Third quarter was a little scary, but then you see Nick Mullins kind of calm down and not let it get to him and make some pretty key passes and go down and actually takes the offense down in the fourth quarter with under a minute, and Robbie Gould kicks that field goal. So showed me a lot of character today and, you know, all the adversities. And I mean, usually a win kind of solves everything. But, you know, you get a win and now you're on the airplane. And I'm sure the organization is kind of rustling around trying to figure out what the next steps are. I mean, do you land, pack a suitcase and take off, or you figure out something else? So even more challenges for this 49ers team and organization moving forward.
Yeah, I think they're literally on the plane as we speak, or probably about to land right now as we speak on Sunday night after the game. Not fully sure of what's coming next because they're still trying to work with Santa Clara County. Kyle Shanahan, obviously not a fan of what Santa Clara County did. He did not mince words in his post-game press conference, so I don't know if that bridge is still there or if that bridge has been burned, but the 49ers obviously felt blindsided. When they were flying to LA is when they found out through Twitter that this ban was going down on professional sports for 21 days in Santa Clara County. So John Lynch actually had to get on the intercom in the plane and explain to the players, explain to the coaches what was going on. You know, he didn't really know. They didn't know where they're going to be playing. Now it looks like a leader in the clubhouse might be Arizona for at least a week, but nobody's 100% sure. So the 49ers may be out of state. You're right, Dennis. They may just be going home to pack up really quick and turn around and head elsewhere. It certainly looks like they won't be able to host Monday Night Football against the Bills at Levi's Stadium. And that's going to be the next game. But let's shift to the football, because what happened on the field today was very impressive. 49ers are now 5-6. They're trying to climb out of the hole. They beat one of the most balanced teams in football today. I mean, this is the same Rams team that on Monday night went into Tampa Bay and got a nice, well-rounded victory over the Buccaneers. The 49ers just beat the Rams for the second time this season. They've only allowed two offensive touchdowns to the Rams this season, and they needed absolutely every bit of reinforcements that they got. Remember, Trent Williams ended up being able to play in this game. You got Richard Sherman back for the 49ers. You saw Raheem Mostert come back. Jeff Wilson came back. So did Deebo Samuel. And Matt, they won by the very skin of their teeth, 23-20. Both teams averaged exactly 5 yards a play, and every single yard that the 49ers got mattered. So in a game that they, you know, really had to have to stay alive in this season, they hung on for dear life by the very skin of their teeth, and they were able to get it done.
Yeah, and 133 of those yards came via Deebo Samuel, and that last pass that he caught, I think it was only for 4 yards, but the 49ers wanted to get Robbie Gould as close to the end zone as possible for his game-winning attempt. So each of those yards, you're right, was important. And I agree with Dennis. That last drive, I mean, I thought that Nick Mullins was, for most of this game, overmatched. I mean, I thought that Aaron Donald was going to be the player of the game, that he was going to be the story. The 49ers interior line, exterior line, the tackles could not stop this guy all game. And he was just dominating, and he was wreaking havoc on poor Nick Mullins, who couldn't do anything about it. But when they absolutely had to have it, the 49ers, A, got a stop on defense, forcing the Rams to punt on their final offensive possession, and then put together that wonderful drive, which included, I think, 3 passes to Deebo Samuel, a key 4th-and-1 run by Kyle Juszczyk. He now has 9 carries on the season. That's a career high for him. And then Robbie Gould's 42-yarder. So to me, the game it started out a lot like the Saints game, where the 49ers were the more energetic team, the more physical team early. They took the lead early. The defense looked good. But this time, they lost the lead, but they were able to get it back. And I thought that showed a lot of grit. And good for Nick Mullins. He's taken a beating these last two games. So I'm glad he finally came out of one of these with a W.
Yeah, and you listen back to some of our podcasts. We talked about this game because you're going to get some of these key players back. And boy, did they show up. Raheem Mostert, Deebo, Sherman coming back. All these guys made impacts in this football game. Deebo had his career day. I think he had, you know, 10 catches for 130-something yards. So if you watch this kid, he's an amazing player. I mean, he plays with such attitude, and when he catches the ball, there's no doubt he's not going to get knocked backwards. He's always going to fall forward and get those extra yards. And we got to talk about this young defensive line. I mean, we've talking about Nick Bosa and a D Ford not being there, But Kerry Hyder Jr., I mean, he's leading the team in sacks right now. He had 2 sacks tonight, and I think a fumble recovery. You know, we saw what Kinlaw did, you know, that interception for a touchdown. That's huge for a defensive lineman. Kevin Givens, all these guys are starting to develop and really starting to show up for the party. So, I mean, there's a lot. I mean, as you get more weapons back and guys get healthier and guys get more reps, I mean, you got to be excited for this last run. And I'm just hoping this team is building on this win tonight and just taking game for game. Even all the adversities, you have to focus on playing each game like it's going to be your last game. And then you look up and you've won 5-6 games.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, Dennis. Each game is a successive chapter added onto the full novel. You can't, you know, finish the book in September and say, oh, hey, Kevin Givens, he's good against the run, can't really rush the passer. I mean, that's what you would have said, you know, on September 20th about the 49ers. But boy, today, a guy like Kevin Givens just terrorizing the quarterback. He had a couple great pass rush moves today. And on the Javon Kinlaw pick six, which was one of the plays of the 49ers season so far, he's the one that hit at Jared Goff and forced that pick six. So all of a sudden now you're moving into December, and Kevin Givens is a real pass rusher against a good Rams offensive line that's been playing well this season. I thought Eric Armstead got to the quarterback today. Kerry Hyder, 2 more sacks. That's got to be the best bang for your buck deal in all football. He's getting paid, what, $1 or $2 million this year? And just racking up sack after sack, pressure after pressure. I mean, this defensive line has gelled even without Nick Bosa, and they're playing their best football of the season. And, hey, we cannot, you know, go through this podcast without mentioning that the 49ers are coming off a bye and the Rams are on a short week. The 49ers finally had the advantage of legs. They had rest. They had some guys back. And it's no coincidence that they look, you know, like that very strong football team that went all the way to the Super Bowl last year, especially on the defensive side of the ball. Now, they don't have the quarterback back yet, but I think, Matt, this is where the big picture comes in. Nick Mullins, to me, is a guy that can win you 1, maybe 2 games against a quality defense a year. That's it. I mean, he's a backup. He's got the ceiling, especially behind an offensive line that doesn't pass protect well.
Right.
But we've seen Nick Mullins do it before. Think 2018 against the Seahawks. Same kind of game. He got it done, set Robbie Gould up for a game-winning field goal at the end. He did it again for the 49ers, but you have to zoom out. You don't expect Mullins to take and win too many more of these. But if Jimmy Garoppolo does come back, if George Kittle does come back, all Nick Mullins has to do is build a bridge to them. And maybe that bridge only has to be 1 more game against Buffalo.
Yeah, and they've got a nice rest before that game as well. And Dennis was talking about the guys who came back for this one, Richard Sherman, Raheem Mostert, and Jeff Wilson. There should be a trio for the Bills game, too. The guys who are still on the COVID list. That's DJ Jones, a starter. Jordan Willis, who's shown some nice things off the edge, and Brandon Ayuk, who would pair very nicely with Deebo Samuel. So that's the Bills game. The week after that, maybe that's the Washington game, and maybe you get Ben Garland and Kaywan Williams back for that game. I think Williams will be really missed by the time that that game rolls around, considering Jamar Taylor's injury today. And then the week after that, that's the game in Dallas, and I think that's probably the first week that's realistic for Garoppolo to be back. So, yeah, I mean, if you keep hanging around, I mean, they're only 1 game behind the Cardinals right now, and the Cardinals are in that 7th and final spot as of right now for the playoffs. So it's not far-fetched that the 49ers could win a couple games and be right there. I mean, right there tied for that final spot. And that's what they're looking for. And if they are there after Garoppolo comes back, then you're talking about George Kittle possibly being back in the end of December. And then all of a sudden, it gets really interesting because that's all of a sudden a good team again. No Nick Bosa, a couple of guys won't be back, but they could have a decent chunk of their, not only their roster, but their talent base back at the end of December. So flickering playoff hopes, but they're still alive thanks to this win.
Looking for an assist with your credit card, but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
Which little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Terms and restrictions apply.
Talk about Nick Mullins. He, you know, he is what he is. And I think he is a backup quarterback. I think he's getting better. He frustrates me a lot because some of the balls, it looks like, you know, he's not seeing the defense. You know, he throws into triple coverage. Sometimes he needs to take a sack. It feels like it. And sometimes he's, you know, you see him throw a ball as someone's, you know, on his back or about to hit him and it's off or it's too high. But he showed me something tonight, like I said at the beginning. I mean, in the fourth quarter, he seemed like he was on his game. And some of those throws, and that's what frustrates me about him. You'll see some of these throws, and you're like, wow, that is exactly where the ball needs to be. Then you have these other balls that are too high or behind, and, you know, he throws the interception. So, you know, I think Nick Mullins is what Nick Mullins is. And I think you're right, Dave. I think he's only got so many of these wins under his belt or his ability to win these big games. But tonight it all worked out. But he just frustrates the heck out of me because when the ball is snapped and it's a passing, I just don't know where the ball is going to go. And I'm waiting for that pick six. Or I'm waiting for that interception. So he's got to get more consistent for me. But he is, you know, you got him or C.J. Beathard, which I think is the same player. So you have what you have. And I was kind of thinking, you know, Jimmy Garoppolo would be back in the Buffalo game, but it sounds like it's not till the Dallas game later. But, you know, that's your quarterback room. You have to go with it. But he frustrates the heck out of me.
Well, you know, I talk about building that bridge to later. I think the Washington and the Dallas games are really winnable. Then, obviously, you finish the season with Arizona and Seattle. Those, I think, you 100% are going to need Jimmy Garoppolo for. So that leaves this next game against Buffalo, a good team, as that one where it's still going to be tricky to build that bridge without Jimmy Garoppolo. Now, I don't know what the timetable is. It started at 4 to 6 weeks. It's going to be exactly 5 weeks once the Monday night game against Buffalo hits. So we'll see where Jimmy is. I think the 49ers are adamant about getting him 100% this time because of Garoppolo. It's not at 100%. I mean, if this team really wants to make a deep run, get to the playoffs and then do something, they can't have Garoppolo hobbling around, you know, throwing off one foot and throwing floaters in the air. They're going to need him healthy. So I think they're just going to push all the chips into that basket. And that means if he's not 100% for next Monday, it's going to have to be Mullins. And the 49ers can help Mullins out by better pass blocking. I thought today they're facing the most dominant player in football in Aaron Donald, and they had to face him with Colton McKivitz, a rookie, making his first start at right guard. Matt, you have to feel that situation's only going to get better because you don't see 99 on the other side anymore next week, even though Buffalo, you know, can get after the quarterback a little bit, but you don't see Donald, and McKivitz won't be making his first start anymore. Maybe Tom Compton will be back. I don't know how they're going to play that. But if you're the 49ers, if you're looking at this optimistically, you have to say today was the steepest challenge that there's going to be for them, hopefully, for the rest of Mullins' tenure as the starter until Garoppolo comes back.
Yeah, I hope that Dennis's debut against Jackie Slater went better than McKivitz's debut today against Aaron Donald. He's not going to forget this game for the rest of his life. And I know Dennis didn't forget his debut either, but he was not good.
You know what? I thought about that during the game. I was thinking about that situation exactly. Yeah, but go on. Yes.
Well, I mean, he just got beat. He just got whipped. Yeah. And, you know, I don't know, you know, the intricacies of offensive line work, but obviously they were trying to double Aaron Donald up, but he just got past the right guard so quickly that Brunskill couldn't move over Mike McGlinchey had trouble one-on-one against Aaron Donald on a prominent play, Raheem Mostert's fumble, but he also couldn't get over to give him enough help. That's how quick Aaron Donald is. I mean, that's the player. That's what makes him special. He's got that combination of just pure speed rusher plus all that power. But McGivitt's really struggled today. So, yeah, I'm sure that he's going to enjoy watching whoever his counterpart is on the Bills, because it's not going to be Aaron Donald. But, Dennis, what do you recall from that Jackie Slater? He hit you in the helmet, right? Didn't he hit you, like, right away on the side of the helmet?
Jackie Slater's signature moves was a headbutt.
Oh, the headbutt.
Yeah, and you think about playing football and getting a headbutt, I never thought it was possible. But the first snap of the game, he headbutted me. And, you know, if you get headbutted right at the crown of your helmet, it tends to ring in your ear. Because an offensive lineman, you know, the face mask is going to hit face mask, and then the sure pressure of it, or the power of it, is going to leave a ringing. And I couldn't believe that was his technique. And I was told several times by defensive line coach Tommy Hart that's what he was going to do, and exactly what he did. But yeah, Hall of Fame player, and I learned a lot from Jackie Slater, and I think Colton might learn a lot from Aaron Donald, because in the third quarter there, Aaron, he pretty much took over the game. I think he had that strip sack, then he came back and had another sack. So, you know, you get those opportunities to play against great players, and you just gotta learn from it. But, you know, that first game against the Rams, you didn't hear much about him. This game here, he definitely, you know, made a difference as far as that defensive front went and kind of dominating the game.
Yeah, I mean, in the first game, the 49ers were really able to play it on their terms, right? And they had all those Debo runs and Raheem Mostert runs in the first half. And they got Donald playing back on his heels. Today, Aaron Donald was more in attack mode. I think it's, you know, it just illustrates the value of Jimmy Garoppolo and George Kittle. I thought the biggest play in the first matchup was when Garoppolo hit Kittle for the touchdown, and they really burned the Rams' blitz. And what that did is it really made the Rams think twice about blitzing that hard. And that, you know, just has a self-fulfilling effect. It sets up the run game. It keeps guys like Donald back on their heels. Nick Mullins, when he's missing those passes to Jordan Reed, when he's not really getting it done with his arm, it allows the Rams to really just prime more for the run game. And that's a great example. You know, when Mostert fumbles, that's because Aaron Donald is just shooting through that gap and knocking the ball out. So 49ers didn't have the personnel to keep the Rams as off balance today, but still somehow, some way, they got it done in that ugly fashion. And, you know, one guy we haven't talked too much about, Richard Sherman. This is who I wrote about. I just think that Richard Sherman is so important to this team in ways that transcend X's and O's. And he was huge as far as X's and O's go today. He baited Jared Goff into an interception, which he credited Jimmy Ward for, because Ward covered the underneath man so well and confused Goff. So Sherman comes back, hasn't played since week one, delivers a pick, what you expect a future Hall of Famer to do. And then he leads the team with seven tackles. I mean, the 49ers came out hitting hard today. They came out physical, and you know, I guess we shouldn't expect anything different from Richard Sherman. A lot of people thought he might get eased back in. No, he shows up, picks off a pass, leads the team in tackles, and then is the most forceful voice in the postgame press conference at a time that the 49ers really need that kind of veteran leadership. I thought that Sherman's return paved the way for the 49ers to, you know, have that defensive performance, especially since they lost their nickelback, Jamar Taylor. Because Sherman came back, Emmanuel Mosley was able to play nickel, Matt.
Yeah, I thought that both Sherman and Jason Verrett, the two outside cornerbacks, had really strong games today. I thought everybody in the secondary did, except for Tarvarius Moore. And, he was coming off that nice game against New Orleans, and it looked like the 49ers had really found a great formula for that secondary, especially the safety duo. But Moore struggled in the same area he struggled in when he started those three games at the start of last season, which is coming up and making a tackle on a ball carrier. He just freezes at the last minute when he's supposed to do that. And I don't know if it's bad angles. I don't know if it's an aggressiveness problem, but both on that it was the 33-yard catch-and-run by Cooper Kupp took a bad angle, and Kupp got, you know, another 10 yards at the end of that. And then the 61-yard run by Cam Akers, he just totally whiffed on that one. So that's an issue. I mean, you're supposed to be the eraser back there along with Jimmy Ward. You're both kind of playing that quasi-strong free safety role. And it's a bit of a pick-your-poison issue with the two candidates there to possibly take over for Jaquaski Tartt, who's going to be a free agent in March. You've got Marcel Harris, who's really good at tackling, really good along the line of scrimmage, but struggles in pass coverage. And then you've got Moore, who's the exact opposite. Excellent deep down the field. You saw him running stride for stride with one of the Rams receivers on a deep ball today, but he's no good at tackling, especially coming up and tackling along the line of scrimmage. So that's going to be something that the 49ers have to work out, and maybe they do it by who the opponent is. I mean, if it's a team that runs the ball, you play Marcel Harris. If it's a team that throws the ball, you play Tarvarius Moore. But he sort of stuck out to me on an otherwise strong secondary today.
Yeah, and just having Richard Sherman on a football field helps the secondary a lot, because I think he is a quarterback in that secondary, and I think he also brings confidence, you know, when he's in a football game. I just look at the way Jimmy Ward played today. I mean, this guy was flying around, and I don't know how many tackles he had, but he seemed to be flying around, and he had, you know, great on the run support. I think he caused a fumble. He was just flying around. And I think, you know, a guy like Richard Sherman, and, you know, it's great when he's on the field. It seems like he's off the field more than he's on the field. But when he's on the field, I think that secondary just has confidence, because your general's there. And if something's going to fall apart, there's a couple of broken plays today. The big gash plays were usually, you know, breakdowns in the secondary. But I think overall that secondary played well, and I think it's because they had their general back on the field.
Yeah, and they also have that pass rush is really starting to come to life. It's turned into a decent pass rush. It's no longer just Kerry Hyder and a bunch of no-names not doing anything. I mean, these guys are developing names. Armstead has obviously gotten a lot of attention this year because he was the only one with real name recognition after Bosa and Ford went down. But I just feel he's making noise, and you can't talk enough about Kevin Givens. And obviously you got Kinlaw with the pick six. And they did it without DJ Jones too, who they should be getting back shortly. So it's one of those where, I hate to say this because this season, Matt wrote about it on Saturday, is a sinkhole, you know, kind of effect. Something good happens for the 49ers. They lose another guy. Today, they obviously lost Jamar Taylor. But if you look at it in the big picture, they'll be getting Kaywan Williams back toward the end of the season, and they can survive the nickel absence right now because of Sherman's return and Mosley in there. So slowly but surely, if luck and fortune just somehow, some way, just a bit turn around for this team, they should get healthier as this moves forward. And I put the biggest asterisk by that because I know I've said it a million times, but they should get healthier, and then they have the Bills coming up next. And that's going to be fascinating to talk about. And any final thoughts, Matt? I know we're about to embark on one of the most unprecedented weeks or months or, you know, ends of the season in 49ers history. We don't know where they're going to be playing or practicing for certain, but this is certainly going to be something that we've never experienced before covering the NFL. So I think for the 49ers' sake, it's good that they got a win under their belt heading into what's going to be a really trying time.
I think the irony is that they'll truly have somewhat of a home field advantage, at least fans in the stands, if they do play in either Arizona or Texas. And I think the leading candidate is Arizona. But, you know, the reason why you play there and why you may be practicing there as well is because those states have more relaxed rules when it comes to COVID. And that means that they'll have fans in the stands for a home game, which a lot of us, including the players, have noted is pretty alarming when they come out there for, you know, player introductions, you know, the fireworks go off and like there's just silence. So it's a bit unnerving. So that'll be interesting. I think it's, I don't want to say likely, but I think probably the prevailing scenario right now is that they play these, at least these next two games against Buffalo, against Washington in Arizona in the Cardinals stadium. The Cardinals and the 49ers don't share any home dates the whole season. So that tells me that, you know, this was the contingency all along, that if California, which is more strict when it comes to this kind of stuff, shut down the sports teams there, that the 49ers could play in Arizona and maybe the Rams could play in Texas and so on and so forth. So that seems to be the top contingency. I just wonder whether the 49ers will end up practicing in Arizona as well. So they'll head to Arizona, Wednesday, and not come back perhaps until the end of December. That's a plausible scenario right now.
Speaking as a former player, as long as you got your same routine, you're away from your family, you're away from your friends. But if you have your same routine, if coaches can, practice schedules, the treatments, the workouts, the film study, as a player, as long as your routine's not really broken up too much, you can still kind of focus on preparing for a football game. So this is the world we live in, and the precautions are put in place for a reason. So, you have to be in one of the toughest counties, in the whole deal. So you have to kind of obey by the rules and the regulations, but it's all for safety. So, it's football. I mean, at the end of the day, you line up and you play football. And as an athlete, all you need is a place and a time and an opponent on the other side, and you just play football.
And that's exactly what Richard Sherman said in his post-game press conference. I think that's a perfect way to end it. He said it was the status quo. That was the only way we could treat it. You can't worry about things that are out of your control. That's when you get messed up, worried about the outside distractions. We were in LA. We had a game ahead of us. That's all we could focus on. When you step in between those lines, everything is understood. Everything is still football. And then at the very end, he said, I've been playing football for 25 years or so. Sometimes an absence, an injury can bring back a fire, the passion you have for a game. I was just humble for the opportunity to go out there and ball out with the teammates. It was a pleasure. I thought his quote just kind of encapsulated the whole mood. The 49ers have a ton going on, but they simplified it. They had fun playing football, and they won. They got to do that more now, so we'll see. Anyway, 49ers 23, Rams 20. It was a pleasure doing the podcast with you guys. For Matt Barrows and Dennis Brown, this is David Lombardi. We'll talk to you guys in the middle of the week, and the 49ers may be located in a different state by then, so make sure you listen. There's a lot going on.
Hey, football fans, this is Diana Rossini from The Athletic. Get the top stories in pro football snapped directly to your inbox with our latest NFL newsletter, Scoop City. Jacob Robinson and I will bring you the daily scoop of top NFL articles, posts, and podcasts every Monday to Friday. Sign up for free now at theathletic.com/scoop.